Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3. And a study of almost 600,000 technologists in 76 companies found women occupy only 25% of technical roles in 2019. This according to the Top Companies for Women Technologists report. The report includes data from Amazon, Microsoft, Salesforce, and other organizations.
Well, the representation of women in such roles rose slightly above 1% this year, a number that's almost identical to last year's increase rate. So why are the programs and policies aimed at increasing the hiring and retention of women not working quickly enough? We speak to Scott Robertson, who is Vice President of Asia Pacific and Japan at Zscaler, and how it is revolutionizing cloud security by helping enterprises move securely into the new world of cloud and mobility, and also the job landscape in tech as well. So, Scott, welcome to the show. What is the gender disparity in tech, and why is there one?
Well, firstly, thank you both for being here, for having me. When I look at the industry itself, it's kind of an interesting dynamic, and I think back sort of 10 or 15 years as to why we have the current state that we have today. And please don't take my words as being my personal opinion of education, but if we think back 10 or 15 years, it was often considered that men would go and do engineering and mathematic type subjects or perhaps business, and women might be encouraged to go and do, if they were going to university, to do arts or perhaps linguistics or some other form of education, advanced education. And so if we fast forward to today, that's the workforce that we have. And so tech as being a relatively new workforce, it's probably not surprising that there's a disparity in terms of the gender balance. I think there's been, you know, a lot of efforts in the last few years, and I'd say probably 5 years, but particularly in the last 24 months, to try and correct that imbalance. You know, we are probably all familiar with STEM and the efforts around increasing that attention in the education process. And I think, you know, as we continue to make those investments, we'll see that gender imbalance start to correct itself.
Better late than never, I suppose, Scott. Why, though, are women in tech more important than ever today?
Look, I think if you look again at the industry, and I think about the requirements for my own world, I need people who are adaptable, who can adapt with new times. I work in the IT security sector, and it's one of the fastest, more dynamic areas of IT. Every single day that I wake up, I feel like I've everything that I've learned before, I need to relearn because there's some new kind of threat. There's some new kind of vulnerability that's been announced. There's some new company that's been hacked. And as a result, I have to rethink the way I approach my business. Likewise, the skill set that we're typically looking for in this industry is people with the capacity to adapt, to have that growth mindset, to be able to think differently, operate differently, and often multitask. And so there are many new opportunities for individuals to join the cybersecurity space. And of course, as women tend to progress themselves through the education phase, there's plenty of opportunities. It's just a question of which line of IT is relevant. And if cybersecurity happens to be that space, there's a whole slew of new roles and opportunities that are developing as a result of this dynamic space that we work in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, good that you mentioned cybersecurity. I mean, how is it really creating more space for women?
So women,
give us an example.
Okay, great example. I work with a lovely lady called Magda Chele. She runs a group here in Singapore called Women in Cyber. And that particular group creates a community for women to get together. And often it's about every 3 or 4 months they'll get together for dinner and they'll hear from guest speakers. But it's essentially building a community for women within tech to connect and promote themselves. When I look at the skill sets of new roles and the changing roles of typical company security individuals. In the old world, it was about building this perimeter around your network. How do I create a secure environment, a wall around the network that no one can penetrate? And that skill set is very different to what we need today, because that skill set is changing because it's a dynamic workforce. I'm no longer in the office. I'm outside of the office. How can I possibly create a role for someone who's a little bit more dynamic? And so as the world increases and we're starting to the role increases in its scope, we're looking for people who have grown up in that world of wanting to connect from anywhere, working from a Starbucks, working from home, and being able to create new ways of securing those individuals as they roam around the world. And I think that increases the sort of analytical side of security. How do I not only just protect the network, but how can I analyze the data that's around analysis from the data of those breaches? What are the logs coming into the network? And that requires a mathematical approach, a scientific approach to say, out of all of these logs, what ones do look like anomalies, and how can I better analyze those to create a better policy for our organization?
The thing is, Scott, some of the characteristics that you've named, like earlier you talked about adaptability, and now you're talking about these particular types of skills, which may be more apparent, say, in digital natives. So the kids that are growing up now and are coming into the workforce, not, say, completely isolated in women. So is it a case of just that all this time tech hasn't been tapping into the women workforce, that it'd be a good time to do that just because there are just so many jobs that need to be filled now?
Look, I don't think it's any secret that the cybersecurity market is under-resourced. And we're predicting that there's going to be, I think, approximately a million jobs available that we're unable to fill. So simply because of the brain drain that we're seeing within this space. If I think about the unique characteristics, look, I am a competitive person. I think it's important that we have a good balance of individuals within a team to be able to compete. I think in my own experience, women tend to be quite analytical in their approach. And when it comes to cybersecurity, there's a lot of analysis involved. I don't pick a side or a gender when it comes to competency levels. But if I think about it across a broad cross-section, intellect is really important in my industry. Curiosity, someone who's curious, wants to learn more and is not, stayed in their world of saying this is the way things must be done. Coachability. Because you have to adapt, you have to be coachable. I, have to change my style often to be in my industry. Those three things are far more important than experience on its own. And so to your point, Howie, someone who's grown up in that digital world.
Yeah, male or female.
Male or female is typically going to have to be more adaptable because things are changing. They're much more dynamic. And, you look at the customer environment, they're expecting instantaneous responses these days. And to do that, you have to be digitally literate.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Scott Robertson, Vice President of Asia Pacific and Japan at Zscaler. Well, Scott, what are some of the new types of jobs that one could consider in cybersecurity, especially for females?
Sure.
And more importantly, how do we get them?
How do we get them? There you go.
What's the criteria, I suppose? What needs to be brushed up on? Data literacy, obviously.
Look, I think certifications are always important when it comes to security, because it is a regimented type of industry in that context. You do have to have the baseline of certifications and knowledge to be able to understand. From there, you can get specialized certifications. If I look at the areas, as I mentioned before, of an old world hub and spoke, build a wall around my network and hope that no one can penetrate it, and I'll build lots of defenses to deliver that, versus now my users are no longer in the office, they're outside of the office, they're in a Starbucks, McDonald's, they're in an airport lounge, and they're still wanting to connect to applications to do their work, but those applications are no longer on-prem. So that's the new world. So that requires people who are going to be able to understand what are the ever-changing dynamics that creates in a security context.
If I could, then what does it look like? So instead of that hub and spoke model we were talking about, wall up and then dome, and that no longer applies, and we've got all of your players outside of the wall, so to speak. So it's what? You have to create an energy bubble around each and every one of them, or what's happening?
Howie, you know our problems very well. We actually have to create that policy that follows the user and effectively is a policy layer between the user and when they engage with the internet.
And 7 billion people, Scott. Mm. How are we going to do that?
It's a big market. It's a big opportunity. Mm. Look, we start with, obviously, the enterprise sector, the private sector. They are the organizations of the world who have the biggest issues and the biggest challenges. I think coming back to your original question is, you know, what sort of skill sets are
so
required?
So obviously there'd be loads of things for people to do in this space, given the scope
is so huge.
There's
a tremendous opportunity here for people developing. Mm. Again, if I look back to the old world where it was about managing a set of boxes that defended your network and effectively maintaining those boxes, today it's about taking the data that's coming into the security technologies that you've employed and being able to analyze that data to say, well, hey, Scott's now out in Timbuktu accessing this website and he's been infected. We need to write a policy to protect all of our users around the world, not just Scott. And what intelligence can we get from that data? So forensics is a really big piece of this. How do I take the intelligence that I'm getting from the security information and build a better policy, not just for Scott when he's accessing the internet, but perhaps for all of our users? Mm-hmm. And because we're no longer walled behind a network. It's no longer that network-specific policy that we're driving. It's the individual user as he connects to the resource, whatever country he's in and whatever device he's on.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And Scott, what is the current state of digital literacy in the different sectors now, though? I mean, enough to do all that you've just mentioned?
Look, it's definitely on the increase, and I hate to use myself as an example, but I am constantly challenged with multiple different forms of just digital communication. And I think about customers, I think about our business partners, and I think about communities in general. We all are expecting instantaneous type responses from our partners and from our business partners, perhaps our personal partners as well. Mm. But we're expecting a very quick, immediate response. And so we have to be digitally literate in that context. At the same time, I liken it to the fact that I even have my parents now on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, my mother refuses.
Thank you. I don't necessarily recommend it. But it's a fantastic way for me to keep in contact with my parents out in Australia, whether it be FaceTime or WhatsApp. It's a great world to be in, and we're highly connected. But yes, I think the level of literacy is accelerating. And for those of us that are a little bit older in the industry, we have to force ourselves to adapt.
Great.
Just as I'm hiring people who are adaptable and coachable, I myself have to lead by example.
Talk then about Zscaler's efforts in providing more job opportunities in these areas.
Look, great. Thank you, Howie. Zscaler is a fast-growing company. It's great to be in an industry which is growing rapidly. We have many openings across the company. We're looking for security experts. We're looking for great people in sales. We're looking for great people in channel management. I'd encourage anyone that's looking for a career in cyber to look at Zscaler as a potential, but also happy to engage with audiences who want to learn a little bit more about cloud-based security and how that's changing the dynamics of a traditional hub-and-spoke security world. Mm.
Well, Scott Robertson, who is Vice President of Asia-Pacific and Japan at Zscaler, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
Thank you, Bernard. Thank you, Howie.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.